Chapter 3, Association of Young with Old. Laborers Together with God. Children should be so educated that they will sympathize with the aged and afflicted and will seek to alleviate the sufferings of the poor and distressed. They should be taught to be diligent in missionary work, and from their earliest years self-denial and sacrifice for the good of others and the advancement of Christ's cause should be inculcated, that they may be laborers together with God. Many youth who have but little experience push themselves forward, manifest no reverence for age or office, and take offense if counseled or reproved. We have already more of these self-important ones than we want. God calls for modest, quiet, sober-minded youth, and men of mature age, who are well-balanced with principle, who can pray as well as talk, who will rise up before the aged, and treat gray hairs with respect. God has especially enjoined tender respect toward the aged. He says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." It tells of battles fought, and victories gained, of burdens borne, and temptations resisted. It tells of weary feet nearing their rest, of places soon to be vacant. Help the children to think of this, and they will smooth the path of the aged by their courtesy and respect, and will bring grace and beauty into their young lives as they heed the command to rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man. Older ministers should educate younger workers. God calls upon His aged servants to act as counselors, to teach the young men what to do in cases of emergency. Aged workers are to bear, as did John, a living testimony of real experience. And when these faithful workers are laid away to rest, with the words, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord," there should be found in our schools men and women who can take the standard and raise it in new places. While the aged standard bearers are in the field, let those who have been benefited by their labors care for and respect them. Do not load them down with burdens. Appreciate their advice, their words of counsel. Treat them as fathers and mothers who have borne the burden of the work. The workers who have in the past anticipated the needs of the cause do a noble work when, in the place of carrying all the burdens themselves, they lay them upon the shoulders of younger men and women, and educate them as Elijah educated Elisha. David offered to God a tribute of gratitude for the divine teaching and guidance he had received. "O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth," he declared. Those who in the history of the message have borne the burden and heat of the day, are to remember that the same Lord who taught them from their youth, inviting them, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me," and giving them the light of truth, is just as willing to teach young men and women today as he was to teach them. It is wisdom for those who have borne heavy loads to come apart and rest a while. These faithful workers should be relieved of every taxing burden. The work they can do as educators should be appreciated. The Lord Himself will cooperate with them in their efforts to teach others. They should leave the wrestling to those who are younger. The future work must be done by strong young men. The work is under the control of the author and finisher of our faith. He can and will give fitness to men of opportunity. He will raise up those who can fight His battles. He never leaves His work to chance. This work is a great and solemn one, and it is to go forward. It is not God's will that the fathers in His cause should use up their remaining vitality in bearing heavy loads. Let the young men shoulder every responsibility they can, and fight manfully the good fight of faith. The Lord knows better whom to select to do His work than do the wisest men, however interested they may be. It is God who implants His Spirit in the hearts of young men, leading them to fight for Him against great odds. Thus He inspired Paul of Tarsus, who fought with all his entrusted capabilities for heaven's revealed truth, against apostates who ought to have upheld him. God's servants will have today to meet the same difficulties that Paul met. This experience some have had who are now raising the banner of truth. It is such men who can stand in defense of the truth. If they continue to be learners, God can use them to vindicate His law. Let not the aged workers think that they must carry all the responsibilities, all the loads. New fields of labor are constantly opening before us. Let the young men unite with experienced laborers who understand the scriptures, who have long been doers of the word, who have brought the truth into the practical life, relying upon Christ day by day, who seek the Lord as Daniel did. Three times a day Daniel offered his petitions to God. He knew that one mighty in counsel was the source of wisdom and power. The truth as it is in Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, which cuts both ways, was his weapon of warfare. In word, in spirit, in principle, the men who have made God their trust are an example to the youth connected with them. These faithful servants of God are to link up with young men, drawing them with the cords of love because they are themselves drawn to them by the cords of Christ's love. Older workers encourage the younger ones. The Lord desires His people to make constant advancement. He rejoices when young men become imbued with His Spirit, and gird on the armor, to engage in aggressive warfare. Let us always encourage young men and young women to make the most of their capabilities, to improve their talents to the utmost, remembering the words, "Let no man despise thy youth." We do not expect that they will never err in word or action, but if they will heed the reproofs of the Lord, and correct every mistake, they will make advancement. As we see God raising up young men for His work, we rejoice to see them increasing in the fear of the Lord in proportion as they increase in the knowledge of the truth. Such ones will cultivate a reverence for God and for His sacred service. Let the older workers encourage the younger ones, never speaking lightly or disparagingly of them. Day by day the young student teacher is storing away a fresh supply of knowledge. His understanding is enlightened. He can say, "God has opened my eyes to behold wondrous things out of His word." A sense of God's mercy and greatness makes him childlike in his submissiveness and his willingness to serve. These teachers do not feel the repression they would feel in the presence of older teachers. Their hearts glow with the love of God. The students catch the Spirit, the windows of the heart are opened heavenward, and songs of gratitude ascend from hearts that burn with the love of God. As the teachers and students seek to learn their duty, with an unfeigned desire to be conformed to the image of God, they gain power to conquer the stubbornness of a selfish will. Oh, I can see wisdom in thoroughly converted young men and young women engaging in the work of teaching. As they give themselves fully to God, they will learn more and more of Him. We do not in any way underrate the older teachers. No, we would encourage older and younger teachers to labor for God. But I am seeking to show you that schools may be managed, and managed successfully, by men who are not the most advanced in years and experience. God can work through young, humble men. Let none forbid them. Let the young, devoted followers of Christ say, "The love of Christ constraineth me." Moving upon minds with the force of the grace of Christ, this love casts aside all hindrances and barriers, exerting upon souls a compelling influence that leads them to give themselves to God in unreserved consecration. My brother, let nothing you do or say weaken the hands of men who are doing their best, and who have succeeded in gaining success. Warm friendship between Eli and Samuel. The life of Samuel from early childhood had been a life of piety and devotion. He had been placed under the care of Eli in his youth, and the loveliness of his character drew forth the warm affection of the aged priest. He was kind, generous, diligent, obedient, and respectful. The contrast between the course of the youth Samuel and that of the priest's own sons was very marked, and Eli found rest and comfort and blessing in the presence of his charge. It was a singular thing that between Eli, the chief magistrate of the nation, and the simple child so warm a friendship should exist. Samuel was helpful and affectionate, and no father ever loved his child more tenderly than did Eli this youth. As the infirmities of age came upon Eli, he felt more keenly the disheartening, reckless, profligate course of his own sons, and he turned to Samuel for comfort and support. How touching to see youth and old age relying one upon the other, the youth looking up to the aged for counsel and wisdom, the aged looking to the youth for help and sympathy. This is as it should be. God would have the young possess such qualifications of character that they shall find delight in the friendship of the old, that they may be united in the endearing bonds of affection to those who are approaching the borders of the grave. Paul trained Timothy and Titus. Paul made it a part of his work to educate young men for the gospel ministry. He took them with him on his missionary journeys, and thus they gained an experience that later enabled them to fill positions of responsibility. When separated from them, he still kept in touch with their work, and his letters to Timothy and Titus are an evidence of how deep was his desire for their success. "The things that thou hast heard," he wrote, "commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." This feature of Paul's work teaches an important lesson to ministers today. Experienced laborers do a noble work when, instead of trying to carry all the burdens themselves, they train younger men, and place burdens on their shoulders. It is God's desire that those who have gained an experience in His cause shall train young men for His service. The younger worker must not become so wrapped up in the ideas and opinions of the one in whose charge he is placed, that he will forfeit his individuality. He must not lose his identity in the one who is instructing him, so that he dare not exercise his own judgment, but does what he is told, irrespective of his own understanding of what is right and wrong. It is his privilege to learn for himself of the great teacher. If the one with whom he is working pursues a course which is not in harmony with "thus saith the Lord," let him not go to some outside party, but let him go to his superior in office, and lay the matter before him, freely expressing his mind. Thus the learner may be a blessing to the teacher.